You're listening to Vatican Radio. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. It seems that Blessed John the 23rd, who had an outgoing personality and loved walking and talking, was soon rather irreverently referred to by many because of this love for walking as Johnny Walker. It seems too that John the 23rd, who felt boxed in within Vatican walls, soon discovered that even there he could speak with someone in his own dialect. In fact, one of the Augustinians who worked in the Apostolic Palace was from his hometown of Sotto il Monte. But why don't you listen to this archive interview with a former prior general of the Augustinian order, Father Martin Nolan, who knew this sacristan well.
You know, he was known, I'm sure you've heard, as Johnny Walker, because he loved walking around and would like to walk out, but of course security wouldn't allow it. So I imagine that he felt very confined, and that's why he tried to make as many human contacts as he could in the Vatican and, when possible, out of the Vatican. He loved walking and talking and meeting people and gesticulating and communicating and joking too. He had a very good sense of humour.
His optimism, it was in keeping with the times, wasn't it?
It was in keeping with the times, but, you know, he added a new flair to it. Fra Federico tells me that, you know, he looked at the bright side of things and the humorous side of things and was able to, you know, lighten even difficult cases by a joke or by some humorous insight.
Do you have a favourite memory of John 23rd?
Well, I have many memories of him, both direct and memories that I got from those who lived near him. We had in the Vatican at that time Fra Federico, who has since died. And when John was elected Pope, he discovered that this brother, who had no great education but worked in the sacristy, was from the same area as John himself came from, Sotto il Monte, up there in Bergamo. And they immediately became friends. And many of my memories are from what Federico told me about Pope John. During the first days, of course, as was the protocol in the Vatican, they tried to box Pope John in, as I think they had managed to do with Pius XII. But Pope John wasn't having any of it. They wanted to appoint chaplains who would take their turn serving his mass. And Pope John said, I have here a man, Federico, he's from my own part, I can talk dialect with him. And moreover, he said, you know, I wouldn't have these poor chaplains waiting around, because sometimes if I'm sleepy in the morning, I sleep on. Whereas Federico won't mind. You know, he'll be there anyway doing the sacristy. And so started a long friendship, which lasted until the Pope died, between Fra Federico and the Pope. When eventually the Pope got sick, of course, most of the world didn't know. In fact, Federico told me that even Pope John himself didn't know that he was sick with cancer for a long time. Gradually, the Pope began to invite Federico to stay near him. First of all, to sleep in the room beside him, lest he needs something at night. And later, to sleep in the room itself where he was, so that if the Pope got disturbed at night, he would be able to talk to Federico or be helped by him. Federico tells me that the Pope, especially towards the end, you know, he wanted, you know, at all costs to get up from bed and say Mass. And the doctors told Federico that he must keep him in bed because now he was very ill and that he wasn't really able to get up. But the Pope would keep saying, I'm the devil's army, I must get up, I must say Mass. Otherwise, you know, I cannot pass the day without saying Mass. And Federico told me that eventually, I suppose, partly in frustration and partly out of concern for the Pope, he said, Ma Santo Padre, he says, Holy Father, he says, when you're sick, the bed is your altar and you are the Mass. Don't you know that? And he says, the Pope's eyes opened wide. And he said, what did you say? He says, the bed is the altar and you are the Mass when you're sick. And he said, from that day on, the Pope stayed quietly in bed and told everybody that came to visit him, you know, look, that brother who has no education at all knows more theology and spirituality than the Pope ever knew. And he has taught me, and he would repeat the story of what Federico had done for him. Federico also told me that, you know, Pope John was of an extraordinary gentleness. That he said, even if he had to make some comment on something or correct somebody, he did it with such, he says, such gentleness and concern that you almost felt honoured by his remarking to you what he had said. The Pope hated to give any offence or be hurtful. And in this way, you know, they became very deep friends and were constant companions, especially towards the end.
Do you remember when he died?
And I remember it well. I was in the square the night he died, And Fra Federico, who was with him up to the time he died, and he stayed with him for the last month in the same room, told me that during this last period, the Pope suffered a lot, but that he was nevertheless always very, I can't say cheerful, but optimistic, hopeful. Towards the end of his life, in the last few days, in fact, I think maybe the last evening or the second last evening, his family arrived, but he had already sunk into coma, and they thought that it was terminal coma. But strange to say, late in the night, the Pope woke up out of the coma and began to speak. First of all, he began to call out for Federico, who had retired to his sofa because he had been up so long with him. And the Pope said, "Federico, where is Federico?" Because he was a bit, I suppose, startled by the number of people around the bed. Eventually, Federico came in and he had calmed down, and then he recognized his own family. And the first question he asked them was, "Did they give you something to eat?" And Federico told me, when they said yes, they've given us something to eat, he says, "Well, I'll have something to eat myself." And he asked for a cup of coffee. Federico told me that he asked the people around, he says, "Am I dying or am I not?" And apparently they didn't know what to say. And he says, "Well, if I'm dying," he says, "let's pray." And they have in Italian the same prayer that we have in English: "Jesus, Mary and Joseph, I give my heart and my soul. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, I commend my soul." It's an old aspiration. But the Pope apparently said to his family, he says, "Look," he says, "I am dying, so you must say, assist him, pray for me." So he kept his little sense of humour right up to the last. However, he did suffer a great deal, Federico told me. In fact, at one point, news went out that he was dead, but it wasn't true. I remember myself asking people coming out of the Vatican, because we were waiting there in the evening for the dread moment of the last moment. One official of the Vatican said he's not officially dead. Not officially dead. Not to the public, but to people who kept saying, "How is he? How is he? How is he? How is he?" And eventually then, when he did die, you know, there was a great sadness. They thought that a very warm human being and a great Pope had passed away.
Well, the whole of Rome was there, weren't there?
Oh, by the time that he had died, yes, the whole of Rome was there. At least the square was filled, because, you see, it was a long, drawn-out expected death. He didn't die as soon as, I suppose, people were expecting. And so, little by little, as had happened when he was elected, you know, little by little the crowds accumulated and got bigger and bigger, and the press of the world, of course, was also there.
You were listening there to an archive interview with Augustinian Father Martin Nolan. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.